Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz Today.
The impeachment of Alejandro Mayorkas. I mean, they're there on the in the well of the Senate, and they're milling about, and they're signing things. So nothing started yet. I mean, that's what it sounds like. Just like a big, empty, hollow vessel. But that's enough of the mind of Representative Ocasio-Cortez. Ha ha! It was low-hanging fruit, and I plucked it. Tony Katz Today. What's going on, everybody? 833-468-8669. 833-GOT-TONY. That is the number. That's how you get to be a part of the show. Let us change gears, and maybe you can answer a question for me. Why, oh, why does anybody think I care about what Caitlin Clark is getting paid? Why? Why is this a story? Why am I supposed to be involved in this? Well, this is a story because Caitlin Clark is a phenom. And the Indiana Fever took her with the first pick in the WNBA draft. Now, we should be clear, nobody watches the WNBA. That is not said in anger. That is said as a factual statement. Nobody watches. As a matter of fact, 2.5 million people tuned in to the draft, to the WNBA draft. It's the largest audience the WNBA has ever gotten for anything. It's the first time they've ever cracked 1 million viewers. Ever. Ever. First time ever. So now she's coming to the Indiana Fever. This Caitlin Clark, University of Iowa, a phenom, the three-point shot. I think it's an ugly shot. I'm not an expert at the mechanics. But, man, it goes in. And if she's going to bring an audience, you know, I'm happy for the people of Indianapolis and restaurants to be sold out and hotels to be sold out. It's terrific. Great. Wonderful. Go have a great career. I look forward to meeting her one day. Go have a great career. Go crush. But it came out that her starting salary is only going to be $76,000. And she's going to get a four-year deal for $338,000. She'll earn $76,000 in 2024. And if the team option is picked up in 2027, she gets $97,000. Okay. I think she knew that going in. And I think she knew that going in when she turned down the money from Ice Cube at his Big Three League where he offered her $5 million. She wanted to play in the WNBA. The WNBA has very little popularity, very small fan bases, and doesn't have advertising revenue. The WNBA exists in toto because the NBA decided they wanted a women's league. It has no other way of existing except for the kindness of the NBA strangers. Now, all of a sudden, I've got Russell Wilson of the Pittsburgh Steelers, formerly of the Denver Broncos, formerly of the Seattle Seahawks, saying that I pray that she gets what she deserves. Gets what she deserves? What does that mean? If you, Russell Wilson, want to be such a big shot, go buy a team and write her a check. You know what? Don't even buy a team. Just write her a check. Now Joe Biden is getting into this nonsense, putting on X. Women in sports continue to push new boundaries and inspire us all. But right now we're seeing that even if you're the best, women are not paid their fair share. It's time that we give our daughters the same opportunities as our sons and ensure women are paid what they deserve. You belong to the political party that wants to erase women. Because when men start declaring that they're women and get into the WNBA, it's over for Caitlin Clark. I have no doubt that Caitlin Clark can pay and can beat me. Caitlin Clark is better than me. And by the way, I'm in the Indy area. Welcome. I look forward to talking to you. I'm so sorry that you've been dragged into this whole thing. Allow me to say for the record, this has zero to do with you. These conversations are about the madness of our political culture, not about you. I'm only sorry that you would have to deal with any of it. But it is true. I don't think you concern yourself with what I get paid, and I am not about to concern myself with what you get paid. That is your business. Right? This may be the base salary, and you might say that's pretty low for professional sports. But I think the endorsement deals with State Farm and possibly Nike are going to do you all right. They're going to do you pretty good. You're going to be okay. Now, maybe you want to earn more. Well, I don't mind you negotiating for more. You would never get in my way. I'm not about to get in your way. I consider Caitlin Clark a friend. I'd love to talk to her. This is about the despicableness of Joe Biden and the political left that wants to erase women and says men can be women and they can have the spot on the sports team and the women have to just deal with it. You think you want to give daughters the same opportunities? You belong to the political party that not only wants to erase women, you think it's okay that young girls get mutilated. You call that gender-affirming care. Do you have any idea how disgusting you are? This is all nonsense. Russell Wilson is a pandering yutz. And God, I hope the Pittsburgh Steelers go 0-17. You know what? I hope they go 0-18. That's right. I want an extra loss in there. A yutz. I pray she gets what she deserves. What does that even mean? Gets what she deserves? And who? Why are you praying that somebody else gives her something? You're a grown-ass man, Russell Wilson. Write the damn check. I pray she gets what she deserves. It's time we give our daughters the same opportunity as our sons. This conversation's not about opportunity. How do I know this? Because Caitlin Clark, like Angel Reese, like a host of others, are in the WNBA. Opportunity achieved. You want the same amount of money, but nobody watches the WNBA. And you can't force them to. You can't force them to drive electric vehicles. You can't force them to watch something they don't think is a solid product. They think it's an inferior product. It is not as physical as the NBA. It is not as fast-paced as the NBA. It's not. And in the 20-some-odd years of the league, they have never made a profit. Any other person in any other situation would shut that business down. But the NBA believes, clearly, I mean, I'm not a part of the NBA. I'm only taking a look at them by their actions. Show me a man's budget and I'll show you what he values. Isn't that what you said, Joe Biden? The only thing you ever said that ever made any sense. Show me a man's budget and I'll show you what he values. The NBA clearly values having the WNBA in existence. They value it from a woke standpoint. They value it from helps us build out a fan base for other things platform. They value it from a we feel guilty point of view. I don't know. I have no idea how they value the thing. All I know is they value it because they keep writing a check for it. But the audience doesn't. The opportunities for on the advertising side, and therefore the opportunities to increase salaries, are not there. If the Pacers organization, which owns the Fever, wants to write a big old check, they can. Let them. That's absolutely fine. I'm not going to stop them. But when you talk about the same opportunities, you understand that, you know, that is just low-life talk from a low-life person. It's a lie. It's a fraud. It's unbelievable in its patheticness. And that the president of the United States wants to get in on this? These people are unserious. These are children. Joe Biden is not bright, and Joe Biden has no clue what it is he's putting out there. Russell Wilson is just a chump. I hope Caitlin Clark figures out a way to make millions. Why not? I hope you do as well. But it's not going to come from playing in the WNBA, because you can't make millions playing in the WNBA. Maybe one day you will, but that day ain't today. This is Tony Katz Today. So I continued my conversation with William Jacobson, Cornell Law Professor, LegalInsurrection.com, because... So William is listed very often as one of the most influential Jewish commentators out there, right? He's very open and very clear about it. You guys know that I'm Jewish. I don't think that somehow makes you an expert on Israel, but certainly it makes you a target for those people who want to hate you for a whole host of things. Tony Katz Today. Great to be with you. Find everything at TonyKatz.com. William Jacobson on the line. And at Cornell... I mean, you want to talk about the schools that have been involved in dealing with anti-Semitism. Cornell has been a massive, massive issue. And there was just recently a rally about the anti-Semitism discussions of Israel. I want to know about what happened at that rally, what happened at the event. William, first, the level of the issues that you've been experiencing as a professor from students, and then what happened at this event?
Well, Cornell has been one of the problem campuses. It's been more problems than most, not maybe the worst, but more than most, and it has made a lot of headlines. Cornell, traditionally, I've covered the anti-Israel movement here for well over a decade, almost for my 16 years here, and it's come and it's gone. They're always very aggressive. They're always trying to intimidate people. I remember one year, I think it was 2014, one of the outside Ithaca activists got criminally charged for helping Students for Justice in Palestine intimidate Jewish students. They've brought boycott resolutions on the eve of Passover multiple years. So it's really been a very noxious sort of atmosphere, but it hasn't been a sustained intensity. Some years it's more, some it's less. Post October 7, all of the rot that was underneath the surface rose up to the surface. You had student protests calling for Intifada, which is the suicide bombing campaign against Israel that took over 1,000 Israeli lives. They bombed buses, they bombed restaurants, they even bombed a Passover Seder. So this is what people on our campus were calling for, the usual genocidal chant of from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. The historical basis for that statement, of course, is the ethnic cleansing of Jews from the land of Israel. So it really bad stuff. And then it really hit the papers. I mean, there's with graffiti all over the campus against Israel. You know, so astoundingly, there was a strong pro-Hamas element on campus who thought it was just fine with the signs, you know, by any means necessary, was the phrase. But it really broke to the public when a professor here at a rally in downtown Ithaca, attended by a lot of students, it's obvious from the videos that there were a lot of students there, but also some Ithaca activists, said he felt exhilarated when he heard of the October 7th account. Now, he tried to walk it back a little bit and say, oh, well, I didn't mean, you know, hurting civilians. I don't want to do that. Well, he felt exhilarated, and the crowd responded positively, and then they broke into the From the River to the Sea chant. So everybody knew what they meant, and that really just put us on the map, that, you know, massive media coverage. And it's continued at varying levels of intensity ever since then. The campus student activists, who I believe are assisted by many faculty members in terms of strategizing, some faculty members have actually participated in their protests. I think it's highly, highly likely that this is part of a coordinated national effort through groups like Students for Justice in Palestine, American Muslims for Palestine, other groups like that. They march through the campus with bullhorns shouting for, you know, free, free Palestine, and they do it inside buildings. They do it in through areas where students are studying. And the reason they do it and the reason they use bullhorns rather than standing outside and protesting is to intimidate people and to create a hostile environment for pro-Israel students and for Jewish students, the vast majority of whom are pro-Israel. So, and the university has struggled to deal with that. They've passed some new rules about use of electronic sound amplification inside buildings, but the students ignore it and nothing happens. So it's been a very negative, hostile environment at Cornell. And so a group of students organized a unity rally. Now, they called it a Jewish unity rally, but it was much broader than that. It was really, you know, an American and Israeli unity rally, because these same students who march calling for an intifada and for the destruction of Israel also hate the U.S. Look at their rhetoric. It's anti-capitalist, very socialist slash communist. They want to destroy us as much as they want to destroy Israel. And so it was a unity rally. We got about 500 people there, which was very good considering a massive thunderstorm and hailstorm. Hail was bouncing off the sidewalk, blew through right before the event was to start. And so it was a good day.
So when of course, I like it when people are speaking up against the madness, and certainly we're seeing more and more into madness on college campuses. We also saw the madness out of Dearborn. I've been discussing how, you know, the idea that Bill Maher is now saying, if you're chanting death to America on American soil, we've crossed the Rubicon. And I looked at that and I said, I'm glad Bill Maher is saying it, but we've been at this place for a long time. How are only people coming to it now? Is it your, in your view, watching it from the perch that you have, are people coming around to the idea that, my goodness, there's really a hateful group of people out of here who don't want to just destroy Israel? They really want America to be destroyed. Or is that recognition really being silenced and people are being kept quiet and the hateful folk are getting louder?
Well, I don't know if it's sinking in. I think it's sinking in, obviously, with some people. You and I have known this for a long time. This has not been a secret as to what their agenda is. I mean, this is really what's referred to often as the Red-Green Alliance, the red being the communist slash anarchist movement, call it Antifa, call it whatever you want to call it, and the green movement being the Islamist movement, the pro-Hamas movement, the Islamic fundamentalists, the Students for Justice in Palestine, American Muslims for Palestine, groups like that. So they've formed an alliance. They have formed an alliance against Western civilization. And we should recognize it for what it is. It is a movement to tear down our civilization. Who knows what it's going to be replaced with? The red part of it wants some sort of communist utopia. The green part of it wants an Islamist utopia. But it's going to be ugly, because we know what happens when those things take over. So people need to wake up that there is a joining of anti-American, anti-Western forces on our campuses and to some extent in our society, and that Israel is their current scapegoat, but they hate America. I mean, think of the Iranian mullahs' slogan, what they chant in Tehran. It's death to America, death to Israel. America is the great Satan, Israel is the little Satan. That is the philosophy of the anti-Israel movement in the United States, that the United States is the great Satan, that United States is funding this, United States is capitalist, United States is the problem, and Israel is the little Satan, the one who's doing our bidding. So it's a really noxious, dangerous movement. Look at all the videos of the near riots happening on the streets, the intimidation on the streets. And this is 1930s Berlin's taking place in a lot of cities in the United States, and no one wants to recognize that.
That's William Jacobson, Cornell Law Professor, LegalInsurrection.com. Meanwhile, you've got Columbia University now testifying. I think the president of Columbia actually said, I've never seen anti-Semitism on my campus. That's not actually possible. Yeah. She said that to Ilhan Omar. She hasn't seen any anti-Jewish protests at her school. Tell that to the Columbia student, too. Shamefully still go there. This is Tony Katz today. So here's where we're at with the impeachment of Alejandro Mayorkas as the Senate trial begins and the senators have been sworn in. Senator Chuck Schumer, Senate Majority Leader, he has put forth a point of order. Tony Katz today. Good to be with you. 833-468-8669. 833-GOT-TONY. The point of order says that the impeachment articles are unconstitutional. Now, that's a weird thing to say. How in the world are impeachment articles unconstitutional? It makes no sense whatsoever. The House can impeach and then send to the Senate the impeachment, and then a trial takes place. The House of Representatives shall choose their speaker and other officers and shall have the sole power of impeachment. Article 1, Section 2, Clause 5. I mean, it's pretty easy to understand. You can just read it. It's right. I don't know how else to make this easy to understand. Let me bring in my chief legal correspondent, Willy Wonka.
Under Section 37B of the contract, it states quite clearly that all offers shall become null and void if, and you can read it for yourself in this photostatic copy, I, the undersigned, shall forfeit all rights, privileges, and licenses herein and herein contained, etc., etc., fax mentis incendium gloria culpum, etc., etc., memo bis punitor delicatum. It's all there, black and white, clear as crystal.
Honestly, if that doesn't explain it, nothing does. Article 1, Section 2, Clause 5. The House of Representatives shall choose their speaker and other officers and shall have the sole power of impeachment. What in the world could possibly be coming from Chuck Schumer to make him say, unconstitutional? A political process prescribed by the Constitution, by definition, isn't unconstitutional. Oh, Chuck Schumer doesn't like it because it's political. So what? What does that matter? You not liking something is as inconsequential as the day is long. You not liking something doesn't matter. The Senate sits for the trial. What's interesting, as it was being explained by some of the people on C-SPAN. That's right. I watch C-SPAN. Well, we can't all be as cool as you. Some of us have to do the work. If there could be a simple majority vote to say, yeah, these articles are through this point of order are unconstitutional, and then this is over. The Republicans are not able to offer a rebuttal to a point of order. They cannot offer a response or a retort. But in order for this to go through, the Senate would have to be able to look at something that clearly is constitutionally prescribed and say, you know what? F it. Oh, the House of Representatives, they brought forth these articles of impeachment, which they're allowed to do via the Constitution of the United States, which gives them the power under Article 1, Section 2, Clause 5. Well, you know what?
F these people.
We're not paying any attention. We don't need any part of this. We're done. Let's all go get ice cream. Nobody loves ice cream more than this guy.
Name me one.
Oh, we can't. We said nobody loves ice cream more than... So the trial continues, or I should say, the posturing continues. Yeah, nothing's going on. Nothing's going on right now. We'll see if it does. I did not know that saying "death to America" is wrong, and I realized I hadn't gotten to this. Earlier, like I thought to in depth, I wanted to hit it now. I didn't realize that people didn't know that saying "death to America" is wrong. I'm shocked to learn that "death to America" is something people are okay with, because they are very much okay with it. And it was this story about Bill Maher, where he's discussing on his show that we've crossed the Rubicon if you could chant "death to America" on American soil. And, you know, as I discussed this with William Jacobson, Legal Insurrection, where has he been? I mean, I'm glad he's saying it, but where exactly has he been? These anti-American forces have been out and about for years. Did you not know, Bill Maher, that they come clearly from the political left? Almost entirely the political left? How is it possible that you didn't know such a thing? Here's USA Today, Ingrid Jacques writing, "Condemning death to America chants should be easy, not for liberal Michigan Governor Whitmer." You mean you can't condemn this? Piers Morgan now doing shows with people who are calling for the death of America. No, they won't condemn it. Well, you see, what really, you don't understand the rallying cry. Understand the rallying cry? What exactly are you talking about? There was a House resolution condemning "from the river to the sea." That chant is anti-Semitic. 44 people opposed it. "From the river to the sea" is a call for genocide. If they won't oppose a call to genocide, what would make you think they'll oppose a call that says "death to America"? I bring it up because it's important to note this is what they want. And when you see it, sometimes I forget that people are seeing it for the very first time. So there's one of two choices: be angry with them, or tell them you understand. It is unbelievable that this is where the country is at. It is unbelievable that so many people are so absolutely filled with rage. It is unbelievable that they want to destroy the nation that works and replace it with a nation that doesn't. Replace it with an ideology that doesn't. It is beyond understanding. I'm with you. I'm with you. It's beyond understanding that we don't have a southern border that works. That we can allow people who are criminals to just flow over the border. That we can allow the fentanyl to kill our kids. That we can allow these cities to spend untold numbers of dollars and therefore having to cut the services to the citizenry. You have Senator Ted Cruz speaking right now on the Senate floor about the impeachment of Alejandro Mayorkas, the Secretary of Homeland Security.
Impeachment Rule 24.
Madam President.
Majority Leader.
In our previous consent request, we gave your side a chance for debate in public, where it should be. And your side objected. We are moving forward.
Tough guy, Chuck Schumer.
The question is on the motion.
Ask for the yeas and nays.
Is there a sufficient second?
There is a sufficient a second. The clerk will call the roll.
So they're going to do some voting. I thought Cruz and Chuck Schumer were going to get into a little bit of a fisticuff, which would have been awesome. Because while Cruz is way younger than Schumer, I don't know how Cruz is in making a fist. I don't. Schumer is looking for somebody to hit. Don't get me wrong, chump, but I mean, he's really looking. Like he'd be like whirling dervish. He'd be backhands and all sorts of madness. It's impossible to believe that we live in a country that is not interested in actually protecting itself. It's nutty to believe that we live in a country loaded with kids on college campuses or adults in cities that actually think that the nation should be destroyed. This place is better than the other place. You want us to be like Iran under the Ayatollah? Iran under the Ayatollah sucks. You want us to be a nation of Sharia law? Please, all the people holding the signs that say Queers for Palestine, Sharia for a week. Let's see how you do. Just for a week, see how it feels. Let's see how you do with a week of Sharia. And ladies, oh, you are gonna love it. I hope the burqa doesn't make you itchy. Oh, and for those of you who think that you could be trans, feel the air quotes, and live under Sharia, hour two is gonna be fascinating for you. But don't worry, some of you are going to get the castration you've always dreamed about. Did you see the photo? Did you see the photo? It's this. I mean, you almost want to believe it's not real. It's a man in a hospital bed. And he's smiling and standing next to him, a guy. And the guy in the hospital bed, the guy in the hospital bed's got a beard. And the guy in the hospital bed is holding up his hands. And between his thumb and his pointer finger, he's holding up, he's got a bottle, like a bottle in each hand. You know what's in the bottle of each hand? His testicles. Because he had them removed so he can engage his surgeries. So he can be she. Somebody had pointed out that it's really not okay to say, well, you know, they're adults and they can do what they want. This is barbaric that we're participating in this atrocity. It is barbaric that we are participating in this atrocity. I'm not so sure how I maneuver in the idea of telling these people what to do with themselves as adults. But we should be clear that this isn't healthy and it isn't good and isn't decent. It's despicable. It's disgusting. It's the stuff of horror films. Call me any name you want. Self-mutilation is bad. Cutting is bad. This kind of cutting, really bad. And you want to join in with people who scream death to America? Huh? Yeah, you are in for a surprise. The people who scream death to America should be taken at face value. And we should understand that when the mayor of Dearborn excoriates them, and when the governor excoriates them for chanting death to America in Dearborn, it doesn't change the fact that Dearborn has a tremendous number of residents who believe in death to America. And it should be clear, this ain't just Dearborn. Dearborn, Michigan, of course. This comes from year upon year upon year upon year of being told in elementary school, in middle school, in high school, in college, through culture, that somehow the country is the enemy. The Washington Post has an editorial board member. Her name is Karen Attiah, A-T-T-I-A-H. arguing on social media that many will not survive, quote unquote. There has to be a shift in cultural and political systems in the country. Quote, those of us who are minorities or come from marginalized communities, I hope the last few months have been clarifying. Our government will not save us. Our institutions will not save us. People of color in high places will not save us. Only we could save us. Adjust accordingly. Well, what exactly is she referring to? Because right there, she could sound like somebody on the political right. She continues, the silence, censorship, racism, and hypocrisies onto the assault, starvation, and depopulation of Palestinians in Gaza is revealing. So you support Hamas. And you believe Hamas's numbers, which have already now been revised because they have been lying for all this time. And finally, they've been caught in the lie. You don't want to talk about the attack of October 7th. You only want to talk about what's happening to Palestinians now, not the garbage they've had to live under because of Hamas, who they support in poll after poll after poll after poll. But America's the problem. Well, lately, a lot of us feel that way. But it isn't America. The country is here. The Constitution is. The problem is, we're just not following it. The problem is, we've forgotten how good it really is. We have allowed ourselves, and others have allowed themselves, to believe lie after lie, and there has been no response to it other than to say, oh, you're being silly. Response time is now. It was yesterday, it's today, and it sure as bloody hell is tomorrow. I'm Tony Katz.
Mr. McConnell.
So it's a vote.
Menendez.
What are they voting on? Delaying the impeachment trial.
Mr. Mullen.
Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana just said, you know what?
Mr. Murphy.
Let's save this to April 30th, if that's all right.
Mr. Murray.
Can we just save it for later? I got a thing. I got a thing to do, and honestly, who's got...
Mr. Paul.
This is nutty. So they're voting right now.
Mr. Peters.
I have no idea. Because the Democrats are really interested in trying to say this impeachment shouldn't be allowed. Which is nutty. I don't know how you get away with that. I will look into it. I'll have more tomorrow, everyone. Take care. Find everything at TonyKatz.com.